Well, that's pretty good preaching. Amen. It really was. And great singing. And I was going to sing, but she wanted to sing, so we figured we'd let her tonight. And amen. So y'all would stick around. Amen. Y'all wouldn't be sticking around long if I was singing. Amen. Praise God. I'm just surprised you stuck around while I was preaching, to be honest with you tonight. But it has been great to be at Calvary Baptist Church this week. And I do not say that lightly. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And if I lived anywhere close to this church and I did not have a good, I said keywords, good, home church to go to, right here's where I would be every time the doors opened up. Amen. I really mean that. And I promise you, they have something that that a lot of churches don't have. And I certainly appreciate God allowing me to be here this past week with these good people. Thank you so much for all the hospitality that you have shown me and my family. Preacher, thank you so much for you and your family. And man, just I love y'all, Brother Chris, and each and every one of you. Thank you so much. And I don't take that lightly. I promise you, you don't, this is not everywhere. And I'm certainly grateful to be here tonight. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6 tonight. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. And while you're turning, I just want to thank some of our people for coming again tonight. And Brother Terry and Miss Pam, Brother Everett coming again tonight. And some of them's worked and some of them just came up here anyway. And I certainly appreciate them. And I'll tell you, when you are a member of an active church that's doing something and has something going on, it's hard enough to be committed and to be active in your own church for everything, but much less somebody else's church. And I appreciate them coming from the bottom of my heart. I really do. I appreciate my family. I appreciate my wife being here each and every single night. And I appreciate my kids being here. And you know, it's good that they're here, but I didn't have to beat them to get them here. And I thank God for that. I don't take that lightly. And funny that the preacher made mention of this at the first of the week, because I had no intentions of preaching this. I really didn't. And just to be quite honest with you, about three or four messages that I've preached this week, really, I wouldn't have chose to preach them. And I wouldn't have chose to preach this one just for the simple fact that a few of you has heard it. But this is what the Lord wanted me to preach tonight. So with the Lord being my helper, I want to obey Him. And just thank you again for allowing us to come and be with you. If you found your place in Ephesians 6, if you'd stand in the honor of reading of God's Word. And Ephesians chapter number 6. If you don't mind, you come on up here and you can just sit right over there beside that box. That way, is your name Preston?
Yes, sir.
I thought it was. I just want to make sure you still knew that. And and by the way, if you smell anything tonight, it's got to be Brother Chris. Amen. He said something about smell, right? And man. Everybody ought to enjoy the blessing of getting up here and talking in front of a bunch of people and trying to say a lot of things really quick. But anyway, I want to be mindful of the time tonight. But Ephesians chapter number 6, let's start reading in verse number 10. Paul, writing to the church tonight, said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the tricks, the snares, the deceits of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come to you, God, just as humble, Lord, as I know how. Lord, I lay at the cross tonight, Lord, begging and praying, God, that you would put a hedge about this church tonight. Lord, that you'd put a hedge about this church service tonight. Lord, for the next little while, God, that you'd plead
I'd plead the blood of Christ over the service, over the church, over the property, over the people tonight. Lord, that you'd bind the demons and devils of hell for the next little while. God, I plead the blood of Christ over my mind and over my eyes and over my ears. God, help us to be attentive to the service tonight. And Lord, blind our eyes and our ears from all of the distractions, God, that may come up. And Lord, we just ask you, Lord, that you would put a hedge about the service once again. Put a hedge about the man of God tonight. The pastor, Lord, and his family, Lord, and all the preachers in the church tonight. Lord, we're thankful for them. Lord, we ask you to help us, Lord, touch our minds. Lord, help us tonight. Lord, we'll give you all the honor. Lord, we'll give you all the glory for everything that's done. God, most of all, if there's anybody here that's lost tonight, we ask you to save them before it's eternally too late. Lord, I realize that I'm weak and I'm undone without you. And I realize that I'm absolutely, positively nothing without you. Lord, you've never left me. You've never forsaken me. Lord, you've been with me each and every night. Lord, I certainly need you tonight just as much as I've ever needed you before. Lord, I beg and I pray for your touch tonight. God, I beg and pray to help me, give me unction, give me liberty, God. Lord, it might be the last night of meeting, God, but I ask you, Lord, that you would touch and help the fire burn on in our hearts, Lord, of what you've done this past week. Lord, we give you all the honor and glory for everything that's done. In Christ's name we so humbly pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated tonight. Well, it's a very familiar scripture, right? In Ephesians chapter number 6, we know that the apostle Paul is writing to the church. He's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he's telling them about a spiritual warfare that will take place in the believer's life. In Ephesians chapter number 5, you'll find Paul's instruction for a godly home and a godly marriage. And then in the first part of Ephesians chapter number 6, you'll find instructions to the children. Look with me in verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And not only that, but you'll also see when you read on down that there's instruction to daddies. There's instructions to servants of God. And let me say this. Can I say this really quick to the teenagers, to the ones going back to school, to the ones still living at home? Sometimes you may not feel like that your parents can know what you're going through and know where you are. Maybe just say it like this, that you could say that they don't understand you tonight. Sometimes I don't understand myself, amen? But I'm just telling you tonight, I believe that that sometimes kids feel like their parents don't understand them or the preacher don't understand them. But can I say this tonight? Jesus' parents didn't always understand him. No, they didn't. In Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 50 and 51, they didn't understand him. Matter of fact, Jesus could have criticized his parents every single day if he wanted to be a critic of his parents. Amen. I mean, in Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 51, it said this, but he was subject unto them. He was Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. When he was flawless, when he was sinless tonight, he was subject unto his parents. That means that he was obedient, that he was, listen to this, being put under their power. How about that? And preacher Joseph wasn't even his daddy. Hey, if you're a stepdaddy here tonight, I'll say this again. I've already said it once. I commend you. And how many stepdaddies you think have heard this? You're not my daddy! Come on, brother. But you know what, men? God still gives you the discernment and the direction for your home. When they were going to kill Jesus, God spoke to Joseph and said, hey, I want you to take your family and I want you to get over here. Even though Joseph wasn't Jesus' daddy. I know there's times that you may have trouble. I know overlooking your parents' flaws, but Jesus overlooked his parents' flaws. Let me say it like this. Don't let your obedience, children, kids, teenagers, young adults, be conditional to anybody else's obedience. Let me say it like this. Hey, husbands, don't let your obedience be conditional to your wife's obedience. Hey, wives, don't let your obedience be conditional to your husband's obedience. And what I mean by this, by that is this. Well, if he would do his part, I'd do my part. Well, if she'd submit to me like she is supposed to, preacher, I'd love her like I'm supposed to. Well, if he'd love me like he's supposed to, I'd submit to it. Don't let your obedience
be conditional upon anybody else's obedience. Because you're not going to have to give an account for anybody else. We are going to have to give an account for ourselves tonight. Amen? Now, I do believe this with my whole heart. I believe there's a difference in a home where Christians live and a Christian home. I believe there's a big difference in a home where a born again child of God lives and a Christian home. Amen. In a Christian home, Christ is the head of that home. In a Christian home, Christ is the final authority in that home. Wives, you don't have to okay it and you don't have to vote on it for your husband to be the head of the house. That's the position that God placed him. Right? We just don't have to vote on that. We don't have to vote on that. That's God's order. But understand, in a Christian home, God's authority is the final authority. In a Christian home, we'll be obedient to God's word above our feelings, above what we think. When we are not even supposed to forgive her, or when we're not supposed to forgive him, we will be obedient to the word of God. I believe the Bible said, boy, that's against our flesh. I know that. I know that. I know it is. Sometimes, I'm just telling you right now, the last thing you want to do is to say, I'm sorry. Last thing you want to do when you lay down in bed is to say, you know what? I'm not going to let the sun go down upon my wrath. Neither am I going to give place to the devil. I want to tell you, honey, I'm sorry. No, I don't want to do that. I want to roll over away from her, face the wall, jerk the covers over on my side, dare her to pull them back on her side, take my hand like a grown man and pick that divider in between the bed and go, Take that. Yeah. And we expect our kids to act right. Amen. No, in a Christian home, everybody will be obedient to the Word of God. We pray this, listen to me very closely. God, give us a Christian home. Let me say this. It's good to pray that, but a Christian home is not a gift from God. It's not a gift, because a gift is something that you don't deserve. A gift is something that's free. But a Christian home, it takes God's help. It takes faith in God. It takes power in God. It takes prayer to God. But a Christian home comes by a lot of work. Right? So it's not a gift. It's not something you pray for and God said, okay, there you go. You and your wife's going to get along. No, they have bad days. I have bad days. My wife, believe it or not, preachers have bad days too. I'm just telling you tonight, the results of a Christian home is a lot of prayer, a lot of faith, and a lot of hard work from every single one of us that live there. From the youngest to the oldest. Now, I really believe this week. But just by what God has laid on my heart to preach, I believe that we have gotten a lot of help from the Lord this week. Now, there's nothing that I could do. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know you. I don't know where you are in life. If God spoke to your heart, it wasn't the preacher. It was God tonight. But I really believe that there was a lot of people that got a lot of help this week. And I believe they got a lot of help from the God. I also believe this, preacher. I believe that there were some homes and some parents and some kids that have set some boundaries in their life this week. I believe they've come up here to the altar. I believe they've set boundaries. I believe there's been some mamas. I believe there's been some daddies to come up here. And I believe they said, you know what? We've got to do things differently. God spoke to my heart tonight, and we're going to change some things in the certain home. We're going to change some things in the Pendley home. We're going to change some things in, what's your last name? In the hall home. We're going to change some things in each area. I believe there were some boundaries set around the altar tonight, but it's real easy. I'm scared that we get stirred for the moment. But when we walk out of those doors, we kind of have a way of falling back into the rut. I believe we have a way of falling back into the, well, you know, man, I've done good for a month or two, and No, preacher, I come up here to the altar and I prayed. I was going to be faithful on Wednesday nights. And man, you know, preacher, things just got so hard. The kids got back to school. They got so much homework. They got tests tomorrow and all that. Hey, I'm just telling you, I believe there were some boundaries to be set. But as much as God wants those boundaries to stay in place tonight, the devil wants to tear them down. As much as God wants to use you, the devil wants to keep God from using you. He wants you to go back to your old way of living. Don't be excited about God. Just simmer right back down. But if you've experienced real revival this week, I'm talking about true revival. I'm talking about a burning and a yearning inside our hearts this week. If we've really experienced that this week, you're fixing to fight hell. Hell like you've never seen.
Come on.
I'm not trying to scare you tonight. I've been there, preacher.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about hell unleashed in your home, in your wife, in your kids, in your husbands, in your workplace. If you've really experienced heartfelt, true revival, you're going to have to fight hell. That's the scary part, because you can't overcome hell. But here's the good part, is there's an answer for the fight. I mean, there's a remedy for the problem. Aren't you glad about that? There's an answer to the problem. So each of us, when we leave here tonight, we're going to have a decision to make, and that is, are we going to be victim, or are we going to be victor? Are we going to come to be a victim of what God wants us to do and that the devil is going to destroy? Are we going to be victor and live a victorious, fulfilled, joy-filled life from here on out? We're going to let the enemy destroy what God has done in this great week of revival. Hey, God moving, God setting boundaries in our home. God brought our homes together and maybe even put homes back together and made them stronger and made kids stronger this week. Or when it comes time to fight hell, are we going to be victim or victor? Let me remind you, we are in a spiritual battle. But we're in a spiritual battle with an invisible enemy. If we are going to win the battle, we must first know who the enemy is, possess the power and equipment to attack him, and have the protection against him. Look with me in verse number 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Let me go right back up to one verse. I want you to remember this verse. Verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Your spouse is not your enemy. You say, you don't know what they've done to me. You don't know who's working through them.
Come on.
Let me explain it like this. Remember the book of Job? The devil's objective was to get Job to curse God and die. Curse God to his face, give up, throw in the towel, and quit on God. That was the devil's objective. He took everything Job had. He took his job. He took his house. He took every belonging that he had, and that didn't work. So the devil went back to God and got permission to attack Job again. And he said, can I touch his bone, B-O-N-E. Can I touch Job's bone? If I can touch Job's bone, I'll make Job curse you and he'll give up. God said, you can touch his bone, you just can't touch his soul. The very next thing that happened was what? Job's wife came to Job and she said, why don't you just, somebody help me out, curse God and die. Go back to the book of Genesis and you will see this word, that the wife, the woman that God made for Adam, was bone of his bone. The devil did touch his bone, but it wasn't the bone necessarily that we were thinking about. I'm just telling you, our spouse is not our enemy tonight. Our kids are not our enemy tonight. Kids, you better listen close to me tonight. Your parents are not your enemy tonight. The devil would make you think they are. The devil would try to get you away from that. The devil would try to get you away from the church. But they are not your enemy. Flesh and blood is not our enemy tonight. Verse number 14, you say, what do we do? Well, we put on the whole armor of God. How do we do that? Well, let's go through it really quick and we'll be done. Stand therefore in verse number 14, having your loins girt about with truth. Amen. Brother Preston, you stand up right there. That way everybody can see you real good and they won't look at me. If I fall down, then they won't ever know it. But, amen. You wear what size belt?
Probably about
this one. I hope so. Amen. And I just hope you do. But the belt of truth is where the soldier, you right-handed or left-handed?
Right.
I figured you was. You didn't look backwards. Amen. It is where the soldier, praise the Lord. That is as tight as it'll go. Y'all feed this boy. Would you do that? If I didn't, you should have went and eat with us tonight, amen. You could eat my beans, and man, you could eat them tortillas, amen. But I'm just telling you tonight that that belt is the belt of truth. It is the truth. It represents the truth of God's Word. It is the center of the body. It's the center of everything you do. But it is the truth of God's Word that is going to sustain the changes that God made in our life this week. It's where the soldier keeps the weapons. And the only weapon we need, Brother Preston, is the weapon that's the truth in God's holy word. John 17, 17 said it like this, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The question is, will we allow God's word to change our lives? Will we go after this week, when we go, oh, next week and the next week and the next week, will we drift back into being a victim? Or will we allow God's Word to continually to work in our lives and become victorious for the rest of our life?
Amen.
We're commanded, y'all. We are commanded to be filled with joy. We are commanded to be joyful.
Amen.
We're commanded to. Why are we not joyful? Why are we falling victim? Why are we falling prey to the enemy tonight? Because we won't allow God's Word to work in our home and our lives. There's a difference in knowing it and letting it change us from the inside out. God wants us to allow it to change us from the inside out. Look with me at verse number 14. Verse number 14 in the latter part said, hey, loins girt about with the truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now this one I love. Because the breastplate of righteousness represents the righteousness that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. It should be as a second. You ever worry in this?
I have now.
All right. He said, I have now. Y'all really need to feed this boy. Amen. I mean, brother, I'll take you out to eat after service if you really want me to. You just hang around me. You come to Solid Rock, brother, we will fatten you up, brother. Y'all got this boy on rations around here. I mean, he can wear this vest twice, amen. But I'm just telling you tonight, is that tight enough? I mean, you think that protection, is that okay? I felt like Ric Flair when I did it. Woo! You know? I always wanted to do that, brother. Right? We might as well go home. No, I'm just kidding. It's the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the problem. It protects us against spiritual assaults from the enemy as long as we got it on.
Amen.
Where's Brother James at? Where's my police in here tonight? Only one. You buy your lonesome two, three, four. Well, I know some. They had to work. I know their schedule. Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They're going to be here Wednesday night or Thursday night, or they're going to be here Monday night and Friday night. It's one of the two. I used to do that. But I'm just telling you tonight, here's the deal. Well, James, raise your hand real high. That is uncomfortable, is it not? It's uncomfortable to the flesh. And when we become overweight, the first thing we want to do, Brother Preston, is take it off.
It protects us against spiritual assaults from the enemy. But the little sins that we tolerate put holes in our armor. And sooner or later, those fiery darts from the wicked, they're going to eventually hit you right here. Loosen it up. Allow things in your life you normally wouldn't allow. Go places in your life you normally wouldn't go. Take part of things you normally wouldn't take part of. Relax. Loosen it up a little bit. True story. Highway patrol. Some of y'all troopers know this. Got shot with a .22 pistol right in the side where the vest didn't cover. And now they make them to overlap. But somebody, preacher, had to lose their life for us to understand that they needed to make it to cover the entire organs and the most important parts. I'm just telling you tonight, if you don't wear that, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll lose your life. You'll lose your revival, church. You'll allow those little sins to come in. Romans 13:14 said it like this, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Our relationship will dictate our conduct. Our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ will dictate our conduct. Certainly not in these. I'm way ahead of myself. I'm just telling you, next is the gospel shoes of peace. Maybe that's why you said smell, you know. I won't make you put those on, Brother Preston. But I'm just telling you, they represent something tonight. Our feet are shod in verse number 15 with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The purpose of these shoes, the gospel shoes of peace, is to provide better traction, to provide stability. You know, when you got traction, you can press a little harder. You can, Brother Key, you can push. You can stay stable in times of adversity. Come on. You ever want to win a fight? First thing you do, you got to do is try to knock him off his feet. That's why it's important, Brother Patel, to get the first blow in. That's why it's important just to, bam, to punch them right in the nose. Get that first lick in because you've knocked them off their feet. And when they're off their feet, they're not stable anymore. So then you can really just have your way. So if I can sweep a home off its feet, amen, if it's not built on that right foundation, if it's not built on the truth that's in God's Word and not what I think or what I'm going to do, it's real easy then to lose my stability. To lose my footing. And then when I lose my footing, I get knocked down. And then the preacher starts to come to see me and wonder where I've been. It gives the ability to stand firm in times of adversity. It gives the ability to stay on your foundation. The gospel shoes of peace stabilizes the heart tonight. For Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule. That word rule right there means to umpire. That means to see what you're going to allow in and what you're going to call out. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. If we're going to stay stable, church, we've got to remain faithful. Thank you, Lord, for letting me go to a good independent Baptist believing, Bible believing church. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Lord, when I face the Word day, and can I be honest with you tonight? I've been honest with you all week. I might as well quit being honest with you now. I don't know about you, preacher, but if you really want to come to my house and be a fly on the wall, right here's the one that's not thankful. Where was this one tonight? Where was that one tonight? Where was this one this week? Where was that one this week? Where were they this week? Ain't nobody going to be there tomorrow at work day. Ain't nobody going to show up. Ain't nobody want to do anything. Where is everybody? Where are they at? Come on now. Am I telling the truth, preacher? Amen. And that one right over there, that's the prayer in our home, by the way. This is not the prayer in our home. I pray, but this is not the one that reaches heaven in our home. That's the one that reaches heaven in our home. Don't look at me funny. I'm just being honest with you tonight. Amen. Thank God for a holy woman.
And by the way, Peter said it was holy women that lived right in their home. Right? He said it was holy women. Want to be holy? Do what the Bible says. Right? Don't want to be holy? Keep living contrary to it. Don't worry about God working in your home, working in your life, working in your marriage. Have it your way. But it'll not be our way and God's way. It'll be our way or God's way. I'm just saying tonight, those gospel shoes of peace will help us stay stable when things get hard. But being thankful will help us to stay joy-filled. In all things, give thanks. You say, my daddy's got cancer, my mama's got cancer, my brother's got cancer, my sister's got cancer, whoever it is. How do I give thanks? It didn't say because of all things, give thanks. It said in all things, give thanks. Lord, I just want to thank you. I don't know. I'm just telling you, Lord, worked at my heart. My grandma died back in last January. And I'm just telling you, preacher, I don't know how to give him thanks. I know this. All I can say is, Lord, thank you for all the years you gave me with my grandma. Most of all, Lord, thank you that I'll be able to see her again one day. Amen. I mean, in all things, give thanks. That will help your feet stay stable. Isn't it amazing how the enemy will take one little thing and get you to focus on it and make it look real, real big. He's a master at going, "Wah!" over something that big. Nobody asked me to sing my song in the revival. No. You know, I think such and such is mad at me. They didn't even shake my hand.
Come on.
Come on now, that stuff's real.
It is.
I'm telling you right now, it's real. Right. It's real in my life. It's real in your life. You know what? I think that woman just winked at your husband. Oh, yeah? I mean, you never have to worry about that. Miss Hall, you just never have to worry about that. It's my last night. I can give him a hard time. Amen. Fred Sanford said like this. I love you, preacher. I really do. I'm telling you, he'll put things in your... He'll make you think things ain't even there. Stand on your feet in the battle. But hey, how about this? How about the shield of faith, Brother Preston? If we're ever going to do anything for God, see this, look, the devil don't mind if you go to church as long as you sit still. But if you're ever going to do anything for God, see if you're ever going to, see what the police, now I didn't bring a real one because I can't afford one, but I'm just telling you tonight, when we go to kick in those doors, and they go to kick in those doors in those homes, they take what they call as a shield. See, what I'm saying is this, you just hold it right there, that's the string. Yeah, that's the handle right there. You hold it out there in front of you. See, it never drops by your side. It always stays up. It always stays in front of you. It always goes before you so you can proceed to move forward. Amen. And then if your faith gets a little weak sometimes, you still got on the righteousness. And it's still protecting you from the fiery darts of the wicked. You and I will never gain ground in enemy territory without the shield of faith.
Amen.
Never, Brother James, will we kick in a door without the shield. Never will you kick into the gates of hell and hand out gospel tracts without the shield of faith, with the breastplate out, the blessed breastplate of righteousness, without those protections. You'll never do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. Victim or victor? Victim or victor? Victim or greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world? Victim or if God be for you, he's more than the whole world against me. Amen. I mean, if he's for you, who can be against you? Amen. Who can separate? You're not saved. You're not saved. You're not saved. You need to be saved. You're not saved. Your salvation is not real. What can separate me from the love of Christ? Right? The shield of faith. the shield of faith. The purpose is to deflect the arrows, to deflect the enemy, to deflect all these things. Proverbs 30:5 said, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him.
Amen.
When your home falls apart, when your kids go wild, when you don't understand, when things go south on your job, when people accuse you falsely of things that you've never done and it's never happened, who are you going to trust? Who are you going to put your trust in? Who are you going to place your trust in? Place it in the shield of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Victim or victor? When you get discouraged, pray, trust, and keep going. Look with me at verse number 17. I'm almost done. Verse number 17 tonight. Verse number 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take the helmet of salvation. Now, this is really one of my favorite parts. I've already preached on it a little bit, so I won't preach on it much longer. Lower that just a little bit for the role play part of it. Will you do that? There's a story behind this helmet, brother. You need to let me tell you about this. Now, everybody's going to laugh at you.
I'm laughing at myself.
You just got to wear it like that. I'm afraid we wear it like that. I really don't want you to wear it like that, brother. Anybody got any pliers around here? In the spiritual warfare, helmets are not optional. If there's ever going to be a fight that you lose, it's going to start right there. Think about it. Every sin I can imagine, Brother Key, every sin that I can think of, every single sin that I can imagine, lust, envy, jealousy, fear, stealing, whatever it is, it starts right there. It's in the mind. It's the most contested battlefield in this world. It's in your mind. Here's what happened. The Bible says to neither give place to the devil. And that word place means ground. And what do you do with ground? You want to sow seed in ground. So what he does is he puts little bitty seeds in your mind, and those seeds grow. And hey, that one winked at your spouse. That one was awful flirty with her, or she was awful, or whatever it is. They didn't shake your hand. You see, the choir, they just sing the same old songs. Man, the preacher, it's the same old stuff. I can tell you what's going to happen before we even go. They ain't no use in going. They're going to do this. Choir's going to sing. We're going to take up an offering. We're going to pray. We're going to preach. And we're going to go. They ain't no use in me going. And those seeds begin to grow. And they get bigger. And then they get roots where they're getting stronger, because we don't have anything to protect our minds. It's the most contested battlefield we have. Philippians 2:5 says it like this. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. When putting on the helmet of salvation, you're putting on the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what's the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's this right here. Whatever it takes, I want to please Daddy. Whatever it takes, I want to please the Father. Whatever it takes. Hey, you shouldn't let her do you like that. You shouldn't let your wife talk to you like that. You shouldn't let your husband talk to you like that. Are you listening to that? Tell her she's acting like her mama. And the next thing you know, he really didn't mean to, ma'am. he just really didn't mean to. And the next thing you know, in an outrageous outcry of a burst of anger that you wonder where it come from after it happened, you go, quit acting like your mama! And it's all downhill from there. Ain't it? We war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Don't let him plant seeds in your mind. Victim or victor? Victim or victor?
The sword of the Spirit. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. We could preach years on this. But the sword of the Spirit, it is the only offensive weapon that we need in time of battle. It is the Word of God. And if it was good enough for Jesus Christ to use this in Matthew chapter number 4, every single time after His 40 days of fasting and 40 nights, the devil come and tempted Him and said, "Boy, you look hungry. You ain't had nothing to eat." Right? He said, "You see all of that? Look out there in the world, Brother Preston. Look out there what I could give you. If you just turn your back off on God. If you just take your helmet off. If you just loosen that vest up. If you just drop that shield. Look, Brother Preston. Look what I could give you." And every time Jesus Christ said, "It is written." It is written. Can I ask you a question tonight, church? Do you know the Word of God good enough to use it when things get really personal? I study that sword, and it's a small dagger like that right there, because it's only used for close combat. When they get up here, then you can use it. But you got to know where it is. You got to know how to use it and where it's at. Because the enemy knows how to use it too. And if he can take this from you, he can defeat you. Amen. The sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. We ought to know how to use it. It will save our life. But the problem is usually we don't know how to use it. But we need to study it and know it and memorize it all we can. Lastly, but certainly not least, when I studied this out, when the Lord first gave me this message, I started thinking, now wait a minute, Lord. I'm not a Bible scholar. I really don't know a lot about the Bible. And by the way, man alive, I was nervous because there was a lot of preachers in here and me preaching this week. But man, we talked to a 10-year-old boy and a teenage boy after church last night. And man, y'all preachers ain't got nothing on them, amen? I'm telling the truth. Keep digging in the Word of God. When you have a question, keep asking the man of God. Right? I'm just telling you the truth. Man, that was amazing. That helped me. That was an encouragement. I called one of our church members back there just so he could listen to this. That's the truth. But I thought, I knew enough about the Bible, Brother Preston, that I thought, well, we've got the belt, that's one. We've got the breastplate of righteousness, that's two. We've got the shoes of the gospel, shoes of peace, that's three. We've got the helmet of salvation, that's four. We got the sword of the Spirit, that's five. What am I missing? We got one more, that's six, right? The shield of faith, that's six. We got six pieces of armor. So I done what any good preacher would do. I started reading some commentaries. And they said, well, they had shin guards, but they didn't use that. That's hogwash and pickle juice. Amen. So I got to thinking about that. Six is the number of incompletion. I know God. I know God's Word. Anytime you see a word used in the Bible and you want to know what it means, track it back to the very first time that it was used. And seven in the Bible was when God took rest on the seventh day because He had completed in making this earth. So the number seven in the Bible is the number of completion. So why in the world would God put in His Word for us to have six parts and leave us incomplete? He didn't. Look with me in verse number 18. In verse number 18 it says this, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." And I begin to think about what a police officer do. A police officer carries a gun. Man, he carries his pepper spray. He carries his taser. I mean, what's missing here? What's missing? And I thought, hey, I know what's missing. It's the most important part in a police officer's day of work. It's his radio. It's used for communication. Y'all know what this is? It's not only a radio, but it's a two-way radio. It sends out and it receives. Now, we're pretty good at holding that button down and talking and sending it out. God, I want this. God, help me with that. God, do this. God, do that. Am I telling the truth, Brother James? As long as I got that button pushed down right there, hey, can't nobody talk back, can they? It's so important that I leave it on my entire shift. And when I go to work, I turn it on. I never take it off. It never turns off. If I'm in my car, it's just turned all the way down. But I've got one in my car. I've got one when I leave my car. I've got one in my base. I've got one when I leave my base. And I use it always.
I thought about this. You know, for help, it's my lifeline. It's a law enforcement officer's lifeline. Hey, you know what this, is? You know how you got to use this? You've got to depend on the person on the other side to know where you are. Always knows where I'm at. Brother Preston, I can turn this thing on and I can say one thing. 10:33. And no matter whether I'm in Wilkes County needing help, no matter whether I'm in Yadkin County needing help, no matter whether I'm in Surrey County needing help, no matter whether I'm on the other side of North Carolina needing help, I'm just telling you, all I've got to holler is 10:33. That means help me quick, emergency. It's a universal code for all law enforcement. And when they hear that, as soon as they find out where you are, they're coming to your aid. They're coming to your rescue. Whether they know you, whether they don't, they're there for you, son.
Amen.
True story, and I'm done. Miss Macy, if you don't mind, you can come on to the piano. Victim or victor? True story. 4 or 5 years ago, I was on my way into work. When I was traveling down the road, I was on 421 South. I was going under Revis Road, if you know where that's at. I just crossed under Revis Road, and I was on my way to Yakaville. I was in my patrol car, and the county was in a standoff up on Highway 21, and right there at 77 at that little hotel right beside that little gas station. Up on 77 in Jonesville, right there beside right beside 21, right there in that little conjunction area. And there's a subway across the road from it. Y'all probably know where that's at. But the county was in a standoff, and there was being a shot at. They were under fire, and there was actively going on, and I thought, well, man, I need to hurry up and get up here to the next exit so I could go to that. But before I could get there, Brother Preston, I heard one of my best friends up there, and some of you might know him if I mention his name, but I heard one of my best friends up there. He was a lieutenant at the time, and he was kind of trying to get things together, and they were up there at the door trying to figure out on a way to get in. I'll never forget it as long as I live. They got those cables up in the median. I literally, instinct was, I jerked my car and I said, wait a minute, I can't go through the median. I got to get up to the next exit. But here's what I heard. Radio silence. They're trying to get in the door. All of a sudden I heard this. I'm hit! I'm hit! Help! I'm hit! And that's exactly how it sounded. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I'm hit. I'm hit. I need help. I'm hit. I've been hit. Dispatcher's called on the radio and said, I couldn't copy. Who are you? Who? They said 10-9. That means repeat the transmission. Who are you? Who are you? But I knew who it was. He's close to me. He is one of my best friends. I'm just telling you tonight, Brother Preston, what saved his life was he had on the armor. What saved his life, Brother Preston, is he was protected. I urge you, church, when we leave tonight, God sure has been good to us this week. But don't go out of here unprotected. Don't go out through this week unprotected. Husbands, don't let your kids, don't let your wife, work together with you. Don't let your husband go unprotected. Remind him when he's had a bad day who the real enemy is. Altars are open. We're standing to our feet tonight.